You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Our good Father, thank you for allowing us to see how good you are, Lord. We thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. We praise you and worship you this morning. We love you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy One. You are so good, Father. You are so good.
You are worthy.
Thank you, Lord. What a privilege it is to wake up on a Sunday morning and be able to come together to worship. You guys don't sound very excited about that. Isn't it a privilege and a blessing to have somewhere to go and worship together on a Sunday morning? Oh, it's so good. So good. Well, thank you, worship team, for this awesome morning. We are going to continue on with all the good things that the Lord has for us and has given us. Ashley is going to share this morning the update from Ghana, but before she does that, I'm going to just give a quick reminder and update of the end of the year calendar that we have. Coming up next, very quickly, is a gift of Christmas, and that is Saturday, December 7th, from 9:30 in the morning to 8 p.m. at night. Literally a whole day full of God's goodness and awesomeness and blessing and love. So we actually have a sign-up sheet today. Amanda Breinenstein, once again, is coordinating and overseeing that, along with her faithful team of people. So we're going to pass this around, and it also will be in the foyer. It's very simple. If you're interested in volunteering, write your name, your phone, and email for contact purposes. And then you simply write yes or no. Are you available for shopping from 10 to 3? Yes. No. Are you available for dinner, to help during dinner and the other activities from 3 to 7? Yes or no. So if you can please start to sign that up, it just helps a lot when coordinating so we know who we have to work with in the different areas. That is greatly appreciated. And you'll be hearing about this, obviously, for the rest of the time until Gift of Christmas happens. So here's Ms. Ashley with some updates from Ghana.
All right, and we also need clothing donations, so please be going through your closets and bring your good stuff, not just bring good stuff, okay? Bring stuff that would bless people, stuff that you would want to wear as well. So the amazing testimonies from Cote d'Ivoire, from our Cote d'Ivoire Ghana team. The first is about 60 people gave their lives to Jesus at our second village crusade. Yes, Lord. This is Chief Kofi. Chief Kofi also gave his life to Jesus. He also suffered from almost complete blindness, deafness, and pain in his knees that made it hard for him to stand. God opened his ears while Pastor Bill was preaching so he could hear the gospel, and he readily prayed out to declare Jesus as his Lord. Then Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat prayed for his healing. He noticed a significant change in his knees and was able to see light, then movement, then fingers. The next morning at Kingdom Bible School, they got a report from his grandson, Pastor Elijah, who was attending, that his vision was clear. Hallelujah! And you can see how happy he is. Wouldn't you be that happy if Jesus touched you and completely restored everything? Yes, Lord. And the next, his granddaughter was also suffering from almost complete blindness and noticed improvement. Being touched by the power and love of God. This is the last day at Kingdom Bible School. The participants cried out for baptism in the Holy Spirit and was moved, and the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully in their midst. Pastor Bill closed Kingdom Bible School with an exciting rendition of The Enemy Is Done. Amen. At the very end, Josh prayed for our translator, Alexi, and he received his spiritual language. And these are the girls preparing for the journey that they took from Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana, complete with a sheep who was named Ramses and a rooster, as they were gifted to us by Chief Kofi. The rooster is not pictured, as he's already was tucked under their seats, but he was strong and good looking, and they are looking for a name for him. So if we have a name, we can text. Oh, we got the name. Potiphar. So Potiphar, I'm assuming, has made it to Ghana. So we want to praise God. Can we just lift up our hands and thank you, God? We thank you, God, for the Ghana team. Father, we just pray more fire, more power. God, your manifest presence going with them everywhere they go. Father, we thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, God, you're powerful and you're mighty to save in Ghana. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you. And let's keep covering the team as they return in a week and a half-ish. Week from Tuesday. So they still have some time there. So let's keep covering them and soaking them in prayer. All right. Well, this morning we will be hearing from Mr. Dr. Troy Larson. And Kingdom people, you are released. And then I don't typically do this, but I'm going to do it for Troy. If we can kind of gather-ish, come, Mombra, Mombra, come close, come close. Mombra says, yeah. Oh, here we are.
What's that? Oh, she's saying, come move closer to the front. That's what she's saying. Come sit in the first three rows. That's what she's saying. She doesn't usually do that. I'm translating. She's saying, come close. Don't stay far. Come close. Thank you, Spencer. Come, come. Ven a frente, meus amigos. Yo, meus amigos. Venha, venha. Hey, Portuguese. Hey, você now. Now. Tu hablas espanhol muito bem. Muy bien. Muy bien. What language am I in? So the kids are released. I am excited about today. I hope you are. With that worship, you should be. That was awesome. Thank you, Kim and team. That was such a blessing. Such a blessing, blessing. Let's see if this pulpit's big enough for everything I brought. So I figure since my wife's on Africa time, I should be on Africa time. So in Africa, a minute is as 100 minutes, and no, 100 minutes is as a minute. You know, it's kind of like a day in the house of the Lord kind of thing. Something like that. All right, well, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for the sun that's shining, and Lord, just this wonderful fall frigid day in Ohio. We just thank you for what you're doing in Africa, Lord, but we thank you for what you're doing here and what you've been releasing in this house. And so just bless all these amazing couples and every other person's not a couple, but even the ones that are being noisy right now as I'm praying, bless those couples that will remain nameless who potentially work in the office. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's that? Beth Ann. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Who wants to, Beth Ann is, Palmer, is suddenly not feeling so well this morning. Would anyone like to just lift that up specifically? Who's, all right.
Lord, we just lift up Beth to you. We just thank you, Lord, that just for your presence surrounding her and Cameron and Lily. Lord, we just command this sickness, this virus, Lord, or bacteria, or whatever got inside of her. We just command it to leave in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just purge it out of her system, Lord. And we just ask for cleansing, for healing from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. And so we just call upon your name. We thank you, Lord, for a quick turnaround, a shift in the name of Jesus, Lord, that she will just feel completely 100% better. We just thank you, Lord, that this will just be another testimony, Lord, that she can stand on, that she can just put that stake in the ground for her life. So we just contend. We thank you, Lord. We expect the healing to manifest now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. So last week, we heard from Mr. Lawrence Liptak. And I was wondering if someone could give us a brief summary of his message. And I can help you out by saying that it was titled, Love That Works. So who would like to give a brief summary, Amanda?
What I remember is the point being, one of the points, I guess, being that it's not hard to love someone once or even twice, but really we're called to continue to love the hardened hearts, or the people that God puts in our lives with hardened hearts, to continue to love them over and over and over again, even though they would reject us or whatever.
All right. Anyone else want to add to that?
I mean, the whole message was good, but the thing that resounded for me was Saul and David and their response to the Lord when he brought correction. I mean, you know, that the scripture actually says, Saul, it would have been so different for you, you know. But David said, I'm sorry. And he just said, I'm sorry right away. And he did. You know, when you look at what David, they were way more specific with what David did, so it could really bring it home, like the adultery and the murder, where Saul was just like a rebellion and just not listening, not waiting for the prophets, not doing the things the way God said to do them. But with David, it was murder and adultery and just devious things. But he was so quick to say, I'm sorry, you know, where Saul had his, you know, well, you didn't, and you know, I didn't, and I was waiting, and they were gonna, and, you know, and the difference that that made in history. Even the whole, yes, I mean, it was just so that really hit home with me.
Amen. Anyone else want to add to that? Jamie?
So I wrote down one of the quotes when he was talking about, he was referencing 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 2 Samuel chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. And so one of the things he said was sacrifice. Hello, children. Sacrifice done out of the heart, done outside of the heart of God is sin. And just contrasting the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I could do everything. I could prophesy. I can have dreams. I can heal the sick. I can do all these amazing things, but I'm just a clinging symbol if I don't have love in my heart. And so that was just really challenging. And he also talked about obedience is better than sacrifice. And real obedience is done out of delight and love. So that was, I love that.
All right, so I think we're done. We've been encouraged for the day. That's enough to chew on right there. You know, one of the things all those things you just said, one of the things I got out of it, I was with a kid, so I listened to it. I told Lawrence I listened to it like 4 or 5 times, because, you know, I was asleep most of them. You know, when you fall asleep on the couch because your wife's out of the country, and, you know, and it's 2 o'clock when you wake up, and you go back and you put on Lawrence at 2 o'clock in the morning, let's just say I didn't make it to the end. But it played the whole way through. It played the whole, I heard it in my spirit. And I did that at least 2 different nights. I think one was 4 o'clock, one was 2 o'clock, you know, a couple nights of just not really being in bed, but trying to just take it all in, Lawrence. But you know what you guys said, but one of the things too that stuck out to me is just Lawrence was saying, this is something that this body does. This is part of who you guys are. that, you know, this wasn't a, man, you guys aren't doing it right. You aren't doing anything. Like, get off your butts already. It was a, yeah, we're doing this. Let's continue in this love that works. Let's continue. Let's be quick to, you know, have hearts that repent, quick to have hearts that turn to the Lord and recognize, oh, Lord, against you and you only I've sinned. You know, let's be quick to do that. And I feel like this body, that's like a heart's cry of this body, and those who are in Africa as well. And so today, continuing on this series, I found this as I was waiting on the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want to speak this week? And behind my printer, in my bedroom, I saw this colored something sitting there, and I'm like, what is this? And I yanked it out, and it's as I'm asking, you know, been asking the Lord for something, and it's this shirt that's, I don't know, orangish red, and it says, every day is an adventure, and it shows a sun coming over a line of mountains with, you know, trees down below, but every day is an adventure. So I really felt like the Lord wanted to talk to us today about the love adventure. So we have the love that works last week, but this week, I'm giving the title ahead of time, the love adventure, write it down, or the adventure of love, but I think it's the love adventure. I like the way that sounds better. And so this shirt kind of kicked that off, and you know, I was tempted to then bring out this shirt, which is just a wonderful shirt that talks about a different adventure. You know, we have all sorts of different adventures in life, and I think only Lawrence might really know about this shirt. You know, this shirt, Lord, this is not Lawrence's favorite shirt, because it's a shirt, and it's got the world, and it has a little yellow, like, balloon bubble thing, like on Google, and it says, you are here. Do you know where that is, Justin?
Is that Mumbai?
That's correct. Justin is correct. It is Mumbai, India. And this is a shirt I bought on the airport as we were about to fly out. And after wearing it for 2 days till we actually did fly out, you know, it was a shirt that, you know, was slightly too prophetic. And, you know, we'll live in infamy as a shirt to not, for Lawrence, it's not his favorite shirt. So I can't wait to buy another one someplace when I'm on a trip with Lawrence that says, you are here, if I find one ever. I've never seen a shirt like that, you know, on these trips. I was like, you are here. I'm in Mumbai. That's an awesome shirt. And then I got an oil stain on it, and I don't really wear it, and Lawrence is fine with that. But so I was looking, you know, and you know how Pastor Billy is always preaching in a good way. You know, it brings up frequently to remind us about the how many names and titles of Jesus? 700 names and titles of Jesus. And so I thought, man, I'm just going to go search the Bible. And we have these wonderful search apps. So I went in and I put adventure in. And I searched the Bible. Do you know how many times the word adventure is in the Bible? Zero. Yeah, man, you guys are a smart crew. Zero. There are no times. It is never in the Bible. Unless, I mean, I think it even pulls the message and it didn't even hit the message. So maybe it's in the message, but when I searched on, you know, maybe it's in there somewhere, but in the translations of the Bible, it did not come up at all. So you'll be glad to know this is a non-biblical, no, I'm just kidding. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired message, but so I'm like, wow, adventure's not in the Bible, so what word goes with that? What, like, Lord, what's going with that? I feel like you're speaking about the adventure and its, you know, theme in my life and stuff, and so I finally found it. But before I found it, I just thought I would read a little message from India, but not from that year of the T-shirt. But this is an email I sent out to some family and friends and stuff while I was in India with Pastor Bill in 2014. And, you know, just going to read some of it here. The first segment in Delhi is already over. Over a dozen Hindus received Jesus, and many were healed physically and encouraged in their hearts. God is so good. You see pictures of salvation, deaf ears open, various healings, and other fun stuff. Who gets to write that? Like, seriously, like, how many people in the United States of America, in the world, get to write just that that word, I was reading it myself, I'm like, various healings. Like, what? Who gets to write that? It's so cool. So it goes on to say, today was amazing. I love being in the kingdom and doing what the Lord is calling me to do. First, we went on a 3-hour bumpy road car trip to arrive at a village along the river. Then, with the sun blazing, we got into a 15-foot wooden boat with a small diesel engine and headed upriver. Switching boats, actually, I thought we didn't switch boats, but we took gas from the one boat to the other because we didn't have enough gas to get where we were going, or diesel. Switching boats once along the way and finally arrived at the village we were headed to. When we arrived, I saw that four young men were playing pretty intense volleyball in the field by the river. We're in India. We had to get to this village by a dugout wooden boat where there's a guy wearing a lungi, which is just like a thing of cloth. That's the only thing he's wearing. His hair is like, I call him Moses. He's the Indian Moses. His hair is totally white gray, the way I picture Moses. White gray, you know, like the old, what, a Charlton Heston or whatever his name is. So he's, you know, he's wearing a lungi. He's got a string wrapped around his big toe that goes to the motor because that's the throttle. And so he's like, you know, his big toe is controlling the throttle on the boat as we're going up the river. And, you know, we're not going that fast, but there was a little bit of a wind and it blew one of my hats off, blew my hat off into the river. And I mean, he just kept on going. I was like, oh, my hat, and just kept on going. I think we just didn't have enough gas to go up and down. And that's probably, he figured by the time we could turn around and rescue my hat, he did not care. So we're going, you know, this is the boat we took up the river. So this is out, and then we pull around a corner and here's volleyball on, you know, right along the riverside in this village. And it's like, what? Who gets to do that? Crazy. So when we, playing volleyball, I joined them and ended up playing with them. Thankfully I remembered how to play and our team won. I'm not competitive at all, as you know. It started to rain and we gathered under the tree. I invited them all to come over to the church with me to hear Pastor Bill play the guitar and sing and share. We all walked to the church and the service began. Pastor Bill sang a song over the people and preached the gospel, and 38 of them received the Lord. 38 received the Lord on this riverside volleyball playing village. Crazy. We were able to pray for several people and talk more with the volleyball players before leaving when the rain lightened up. Our team of 13, including our driver, boatsman, two local pastors, a couple translators / pastors, etc., piled back into the boat to enjoy the wet and rainy boat trip back to the car. We were laughing and joking most of the way about the weather and about my hat that had blown off my head on the way up. No sympathy from the steersman or the pastors, including Pastor Bill. As I recall, plowing on ahead with, you know, we just kept on going. So during our 3-hour return ride that was slightly more fun with all the giant puddles, understatement, traffic and muddy road conditions, I was listening to some worship music and reflecting on the day. I am so thankful for where God has me and what I am doing in life. I wish that everyone could experience the joy of days like today. I am so thankful to have a wife with the same heart and vision who supports me fully in going to the nations. I'm so thankful to have family and friends that make these trips possible through constant prayer and support. It was one of those days that was very uncomfortable, but very, very rewarding and fills my heart with joy. Our God is so good. I am so blessed. And it goes on a little bit to share about getting to go see the lepers and just minister to them, and that was just crazy. So we have those times, like, it's like, wow, who gets to do this? It's both difficult, but it's amazing, but it's crazy, but it's like, how did I get here? Just like, how did I get stuck in Mumbai for 2 days to get to bond with Lawrence even more, get the updates all done before we came back? I mean, there were pluses. You know, there were good things there. But anyway, so the word I came up with is valiantly. So that's just the word that came to my heart, is just valiantly. What do you guys think that word means? Anyone? Webster's actually even says boldly brave. Extravagantly courageous. That was the second definition. Courageous. Dumb. Did you guys look this up for me beforehand? I'm not kidding. This is boldly brave. Done with courage / courageous. Heroic. You guys are amazing. I really think I should just finish. I should just stop. I should stop now. You guys got it. It's so good. Psalm 60. is the first passage that came up when I looked for this. So Lawrence told me I had my message, you know, from a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, we'll see about that. But more on that. So Psalm 60, 11, and 12. This psalm is titled The Urgent Prayer for the Restored Favor of God. How's that for a title for a psalm? We're praying urgently that God would restore his favor on us because we have lost it. And when they lost it back in those days, they usually were taken captive and, you know, all sorts of fun things. So verse 11 and 12, and I happen to be, for the most part, in the New King James Version here today, just so you know, the Bible that Paul read. So if you need to check that at any point, I just thought you'd want to know what version I'm in this morning. So in the Amplified that's up on the screen at the moment, oh, give us help against the adversary, for vain, ineffectual, and to no purpose is the help or salvation of man. That is good, though, actually. Actually, I like that. In the New King James Version, it says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Way to go. Man, you're so awesome. Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. That's pretty much like useless just means there's like nothing. Like there's not really, it's useless, right? Like even describing it's pretty useless because it's just a waste of time. So man's help really is a waste of time. And yet, verse 12 says, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. Yet through God we'll do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. Through God we will do courageously, heroically, boldly, bravely. We will do that because it's through him, and we shall tread, it is he who will tread down our enemies. So God's the one that's, he's for us. You know, if God is for us, who can stand against us? And again, that's the urgent prayer for the restored favor, asking for the restored favor of God, in case anyone missed that part. Psalm 60. And then I want to pop over to Romans, actually. Romans chapter 8, which is a good New Testament passage that goes right along with this. I brought out my Old Faithful. For those of you who've been traveling with me for the better part of almost two decades, Old Faithful is here, still a little bit worn and weary and torn. But so Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So verses 31 and 32. If God is for us, who can stand against us? If God is for us, who can stand against us? What can stand against us? He gave up Jesus for us, so how much more so is he going to take care of the rent? How much more so is he going to take care of the mortgage? How much more so is he going to take care of our jobs? How much more so is he going to take care of our families? How much more so is he going to take care of all these things in life, all these decisions in life? How much more so if he provided absolute life and forgiveness for us, salvation, healing? He's provided that. How much more so is he going to freely give us all things? And it goes on to say that, verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So he's our rear guard. He's our defender. You know, when there's things and situations and people and stuff that come against us, who is our, or against the Lord, really. It's against what the Lord's doing, what he has. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I was so encouraged by this again. He's making intercession for me right now. He's making intercession for me, for you right now. He is for us. He is not against us. And if he is for us, who can stand against us? That's such an encouraging word. And it, you know, goes on to say, you know, verse 35, had to put that in there. Thank the Lord for that one. I'm so glad that there's not just one verse, you know, these verses here and there. You can't just hang your hat on one verse. You read the whole thing. So part of that is verse 35. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 35, who shall separate us? 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. You know, there's nothing that can separate us from his love. Nothing that can separate us. None of these things, you know, none of these situations that happen in life, you know, these things that there's, even as there was the, you know, traveling through India and it's, you know, it would be very easily to look at it as, oh my goodness, we had a 3-hour bumpy car ride. It's so hot. I'm sweating like crazy. Now we go out in an open boat for another 45 minutes or an hour. I think it was like 45 minutes to an hour or so up the river. And, you know, we're all this stuff. It's, you know, we could easily look at it and see the negative, see the difficulties and all that. And there's difficulties. I mean, he promises it all through here. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be trials. There's going to be, he wouldn't say these things, famine and nakedness and peril and sword and distress and tribulation. If that wasn't going to happen, he wouldn't have put it in here. Like he would have said, hey, it's not going to touch you because you got the favor of God. Remember, you know, you don't have to, you don't get out of, you know, not that, you don't get out of his favor. You don't get, have things that happen that are difficult. And if things are difficult, it doesn't mean you're out of his favor necessarily. It could mean you've stepped out of his covering. That's something to take the Lord, repent, go to him, get that, you know, Psalm 60, go after that prayer for the, you know, to requesting his favor. But when we're walking in rightness, we're still going to have tribulation. We're still going to have, you know, not that any of us is perfect, but when our heart in general, we're moving and we're moving in the Lord and we're, you know, walking, you know, to the best of our ability in what his tells us to do through the Bible and, you know, his call in our life, you know, we're still going to have these things come against us. We're still going to have difficult times. And, you know, those things happen. And yet through those things, God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's help and his healing. So another email I sent out to my friends and family a couple years later, or well, actually it was before that India one, but so I'm writing again to ask for your prayers in a very difficult time. My mother very suddenly went to be with the Lord on Tuesday. She appeared to have had a heart attack and passed away instantly. The calling hours are on Friday, and her homegoing celebration is on Saturday at 11 a.m. Both services are being held at Canton First Friends. Please specifically pray for the Lord's grace and comfort on those days. For those of you who didn't know my mother, she was an amazing woman of God who touched many, many, many people with the love of Jesus. She's in heaven with him right now. We have prayed for a miracle because we know that our God always has the final word. We will never stop believing him for the impossible. And no matter what it looks like, we know he is always good. Thank you for your prayers in this time. Much love and multiplied blessings, Troy. One of my responses, querido Troy, beloved Troy, we feel a lot by the death of your mama. We are praying for God's console, that for God to console your family's heart and friends. Thank you for having called me yesterday at night. We love you very much, Rachel, and your family, and the commemorations about your mother. As I talk to you, her death is generating life, equals as Jesus said, the grain of wheat falling into the land will give us fruits. Hugs and kisses, Selpai Malukau, which is Pastor Jerseon Mai's, we call each other, I call him my big crazy father, and he calls me his little crazy son. And so that was from him. And, you know, when mom passed away, you know, I called him and told him and asked for his prayer and cried with him on the phone, which you guys can imagine. And also talked with Pastor Jose and Pastor Samuel. And, you know, having these kind of covenant relationships around the world on top of the ones here were so helpful in that time to me personally, to Rachel, to our family. But you know, just the life that we're living through with other believers in the faith and what God's doing, how he's in that difficult time. You know, we were celebrating her homegoing. She's with Jesus. She's dancing in heaven. You know, she's in a better place. You know, she's in that place. She's watching on, seeing what God's doing in this adventure that we still get to continue living, that our adventure is continuing, you know, until the great adventure with Jesus, as Stephen Curtis Chapman is saying. But that's a flashback for me. You guys, well, anyways, I'll just not bunny trail. But he goes on, you know, other things. So even more recently, we've had this amazing adventure of starting and opening a second clinic. And it's been an amazing adventure. The Lord's provided so many things and managers and staff and clients that we didn't have any clients up there. And we're like 3/4 of what we have in North Canton already. You know, all that stuff going on. And yet, you know, I had this week, we had 2 employees quit out of nowhere. Well, the one just no-showed and like continued to no-show. We have no idea what happened to her. She was a great employee and she just disappeared and just said, I'm dealing with things. And that was it. Another one that wrote and said, I really love working with all of you. I'm gone. Effective immediately. Okay. All right. And, you know, and a couple weeks ago, suddenly the sewer wasn't working. What's up with that? You know, we had this, you know, huge blessing where, you know, about 1.5 years ago, I was able to share how I had been told that we'd have to replace the septic system and we'd have to get on city water. And it was going to be crazy expensive to do all of that. At that time, and really was not something I wanted to do. And when we bought the building, some of you probably maybe remember, I shared bits and pieces with people. When we bought the building, got the keys, went into the building, you know, the kids are running around, I'm going through, and open up a door, and it's spraying water at me. And there's water all over the floor of this one room, and it's going under the wall into the next room, which the door is locked, and we couldn't find the keys, so I kicked the door down just for the fun of it because it was my door, by golly. If I want to kick a door down, I can kick a door down. And it was a thin door. It was a weak door. So as soon as I kicked the door down, Isaac's like, hey, I found this big box full of keys. Thanks, Isaac. But I don't need that door anyways because, and that door is not in my clinic, in case anyone's wondering. There's no door there. There's actually, you know, well, there's a door there, but it's just a whole new room. It's the cat surgery suite now, and so, you know, it's a new thing, so we didn't need that. But as soon as I saw it, I'm just like, oh, my goodness, I just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's raining in my building. And I had these 2 thoughts go through my mind right then. First thought, wow, this is the money pit. I just bought the money pit. Like, this could be a sign of I just bought the money pit. And second thought, it was, wow, you know, I was just thinking earlier today that, you know, in Africa, you know, when it rains on an event, they just see it as such a sign of blessing. And I'm like, man, it's such a nice, clear day. I thought this. I don't know what I was thinking. But I was just like, well, it was just a random went through my head like, oh, it's, you know, it's a clear day in spring. It's not raining. It could be raining. It was April in spring, so it could very easily be raining. But nope. But it was raining in my building, by golly. Well, I'd shared the testimony of this, you know, water leak, which we got fixed. You know, thankfully there was a turnoff valve right there and got it fixed and soaped up the water and bought a dehumidifier and all sorts of fun. And that all got fixed. Well, within 2 weeks, then the well pump died. And so then $1,600 later, we had to fix it, even though we were going to get on city water was the plan because that's what we were told. But we had to fix it because there's a building behind mine that needs the water and couldn't wait till we tie in eventually. So then it's like, okay, so we fixed it. Well, in the fixing of it, it came out that the well's great. I mean, the guy's like, man, you got tons of pressure here, tons of water. I would use this well. I don't know why you tie into city water and pay for it when you have all this free water that's right here. It's coming up really good. I'm like, praise the Lord. So because of that, it led us checking into the septic system. And at that point, it appeared that the septic system, it's like, hey, the septic system is actually working, and actually with some things that we're doing, it'll be able to tolerate our load that we add to it. Well, we have now found out about 7 months later that it cannot, because apparently back in 1970-something, they used to put these leach beds in that were cardboard rolls, like rolls of cardboard wrapped in tar paper. Let's just say that you put 50 years on one of those things in a parking lot, and semis that come through every single day at the back of the building where the leach field is, they covered the leach field with the parking lot concrete, which, so it doesn't really evaporate right in the first place, I think. I think it was probably illegal, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm pretty sure you are not allowed to do it at all anymore, and how they did it, who knows. So then the company in the back then gets semis every day coming in and driving over this leach bed and the septic system. And so it was starting to cause a little bit of problems, but then we found out it just, the leach beds, it's currently functional in a very limited sense if we pump it very frequently. Like a lot more frequently than once a year. So we're in the process, praise the Lord, of getting connected to sewer. So it was a praise that we don't need it. Well, now, a year and a half later, now we need it. So I'm glad we didn't need it then, because I already spent the money that I would have spent on that to do. You know what I mean? So it bought me time. So that was good. and we have more stuff in the building, and now we still have a $20,000 plus bill to pay. But anyways, so my point in that is that, some of these things, they happen. Lord brings this clinic, it's growing, all this stuff's happening. Well, the septic system's gone. Well, the day that we, 2 days after, though, we opened on Monday the 25th, which was actually, I don't know how many of you know this either, but the 25th of March marked the 11th anniversary of my mom's passing. And we had been planning to open months earlier, and then a month earlier, and then weeks earlier, and then it got put on that day, and I didn't even realize that that was the day we were opening, but until like a week or so before, I'm like, wait a second, that's mom's anniversary of her passing. And it was just cool even singing the It As Well this morning and stuff, because that's a song that means a lot to our family from our heritage. And I can't remember if I've ever told you that story, and I won't today because it's so long, but you can ask me later. I may be introduced at some point as Troy Levy, which is part of that story, but we're connected to that song from Jerusalem and my Jewish side and all that fun stuff. So it was just kind of cool to hear that today. I was like, oh, Lord, that's so cool. So when my mom passed away, the Lord, long story short, gave Pastor Bill a prophetic word of just, I just keep hearing this song. It's just, It As Well. This is the Lord just speaking to you, It As Well. And he didn't know about that long connection with my family in that song, going back to when it was written. So it was just very encouraging to my father in that time when my mom passed, and to myself and to my family, to hear that word, It As Well. So even hearing it today, knowing I was sharing a bit about that, thank you, Lord. All the songs today were just right on with where I'm going. So this new clinic's been an adventure in so many different ways, like a lot of high spots, a lot of like, oh boy, hold on. Can we miscommunicate any more worse between the two clinics, between clients, I feel like all I do is apologize, for 7 months. I'm so sorry. Thank you for discovering this glitch in our system. I'm really sorry about that, that that's caused you an inconvenience, and I'm really sorry that you got a reminder for something that you don't need, and you just set up an appointment and came here for it, and there's no reason for you to be here. But I'm not charging you. I won't, no charge. Sorry about that. And and the list goes on and on and on for all these new policies. But it's just kind of funny. All these things going on, it's like, but nothing, none of this stuff can take my joy. None of this can take my peace. None of this gets to take my love for him and for people. And even when sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, could we do anything? This isn't this particular moment, but we had this one client that every time we could mess up them and their appointment and what they got, we did it. It was the only client, but it was always the same client. And we'd put alerts and reminders, and only the two managers and myself could even touch this client's chart, do anything, dispense medication. It was that bad. And she's a lovely older lady. She loves us, or she wouldn't keep coming. And I mean, every way we could mess it up. And so it's like alerts on the patient, alerts on the owner. It's, just only the managers and Dr. Larson can touch this dog, this client, their Medicaid. And they'd still, somehow, some new person would just not read anything. And they would click off the thing that says only managers and doctors. They'd click it off so they could see what's going on with the patient, so they could help this lady out, get it, move it out of the way. It's like, you had to click it off. It tells you, don't do this. You clicked okay. What were you thinking? Anyways, all those fun things. God's grace and provision, because I know that the Lord told us to do it. So I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to pay $20,000 for a septic system. I don't know how all this stuff. I'm, you know, like, Lord, I've got ideas. Like, here's a couple different ideas, Lord. Which ones are you? How are you going to do this? You know, how's this going to happen? I don't know. And then we're going to Brazil in a couple months, and Rachel's gone, and my, you know, this, you know, it's really helpful for me when I shorten my hours in the day to be able to get the kids and stuff. It's not so helpful in terms of, like, how many hours I work, because, you know, I work, and then people come, and I see them, and they pay money. And when I work less hours every day, it just doesn't help. But, again, the Lord, you know that stuff. That's to you. Like, I only got here because of you. Like, I only am doing what I'm doing because of you. You gave the vision. You provided this building. I tried to buy a different one. You said, what are you thinking? And you gave me a different building. And, you know, just all these, like, remembering. And I was talking with Joe the other night just about the Lord, again, stirring in this stuff in me. And I didn't really share much about this, but some parts. But of just reminding me again, like, all those times, like, no matter what's going on, Lord, what have you done? What are you doing? Those monuments that Israel would put up and just those reminders. Lord, what have you done? And not what the enemy's done. Lord, what have you done? What have you done in these situations? And just focusing on that and remembering, man, Lord, I'm so thankful you did that here. And you took care of this need here. And you provided the finances here. And, you know, and I quit my job and went to Africa for months. And you provided. And the next year I made twice as much money, even though I quit my job. And I had no job. And I made twice as much money. What happened? Like, how did you do that? And then people saying, you know what? You really need to pay off your debt. So don't go on the missions for just a year or two, a couple years. Pay off debt. You make more money. I'm like, don't you understand? I'm making what I'm making because I do what I do. And if I didn't do what I was doing, what he called me to do, I wouldn't be making what I'm making, and I'd be in worse debt. And then, you know, and the adventure would end. That's right. Just as it fell out the front, it would end. But no, we pick it up. We put the adventure back on. It's brand new. Never even been worn. Don't know how it ended up behind my, what's that? I don't know how it ended up on behind my printer, but never been worn. It's going to get worn. Yes? I know. Well, I got four of them, so I think this is already down to like size Levi, maybe Seth, actually. Seth. Yes, yeah, so I got Seth and Elijah, so. Do you have a...
You were, because of the India mission trip this year, you were unusually at the clinic on a Saturday at the very moment that Vala ripped her dew claw out and needed emergency assistance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, some of you don't know this. So, the Lord, I from when I heard it, it was very new that I was going to India. I knew that I knew on Monday, and I flew out on Thursday with Lawrence. So, it was a very short process in that thing. I mean, I already had a visa and all that, thank the Lord. But so, and my manager said, go and be free. We'll get more done with you gone. And they actually, I was busy on Friday, and my manager's like, oh, I got so much done today. And when you're busy, I can just get things done. But when you're not, you come up with all these questions and ideas and thoughts and what about this and what about that? And they're doing all this stuff. And she's like, it's so great when you're busy. Like, you're just great. I can just work. I get so much accomplished. She's like, I mean, not that I don't like, you know, but I got so much done. So thank you. I needed that. So, but, you know, so I left on Monday. I called the pastors in India and said, hey, can I come? And like, sure, we'll figure it out. So then 3 days later, I'm flying to India on Thursday. Lawrence and I are in Qatar on a layover, and I get a text from North Canton. My managers in green decided not to tell me because they're like, you can't do anything about it. But my managers in North Canton thought I'd probably at least want to be aware of this. But apparently there was a blockage in the septic system at that point because no one had cleaned it out from when it had sat for years. They just, you know, they'd used it and it worked. So no one thought maybe eventually it would be plugged. So it was plugged. And so they came in the next morning and there was septic across like 2/3 of my clinic. Like, overflowing toilet going across 2/3 of my clinic. At some place they said it was like 3-4 inches tall. But praise the Lord, we put in the 6-inch high cove base, and it was only in the areas that didn't have any of the wood stuff, or it was only in the place that had the special flooring that is seamless, the whole thing. So I have like a bathtub floor in 2/3 of my clinic. That's where the water hit. You know, that's as I'm leaving, like they're like, you left, it's flooding, but that's okay. So they walked into that, they cleaned it up. you know, right the weekend before that, we were trying to open. We were getting gas, and they were putting in the exercise yards, the fencing. And so Dominion is really helpful, the gas company. They really do a good job. And they took this nice, bright paint, and they sprayed it all the way right through to follow that gas line under the ground just so everyone know where it is. So my fencing company, however, thought that was a great marker on exactly where one would put a pipe through. So they drilled right down into Dominion's pipe that was marked, because it's not like fencing companies ever deal with piping and stuff and needing to know where utilities are and knowing what these paint marks are. But this nice bright line, yellow line, going through my paved parking lot, so it's not like hard to tell. They drove right through that and hit the pipe. And meanwhile, I'm at Impact at the middle school here. That is a solid concrete building. When you are in the room that we meet in, there is no reception whatsoever. So I come out of Impact. We just had this great Bible study with the junior middle schoolers. I come out, my phone starts ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, what, huh? So by that point, thankfully, someone came out and turned off the gas at the street. And then another crew came out and fixed it. And then another crew came out and turned it back on at the street. And then another crew came out and turned it on at the meter. Talk about efficiency. It was four groups to do this, like four different sets of people to do that. But praise the Lord, by the time I got out, it was like almost done. Like they were just had to wait for the guy to turn it on at the building just through the middle school Bible study. So praise God, he took care of that. You know, they're running around saying, no one light up, like to the workers and stuff. Like no one light a cigarette. Just, you know, it's like billowing out of the ground, natural gas. But again, the Lord's took care of it. I don't think I got a bill for that. I don't know. Maybe I did. What's that? Yet? Oh, yeah, you know. I mean, yeah, you never know. But so anyways, it's just amazing. These things in life, our viewpoint, the way we look at it, if we can look at it, it's a love adventure with the Lord. He's for us. He's not against us. What can man do to me? What's the worst they can do? He saved me. He set me free. I'm free inside. And even if, you know... Whatever, I won't go into that. But anyways, he saved me, he set me free. That's good. And then one last passage, and Lawrence was right. He's so prophetic. Who would figure that Psalms 118 would have the word valiantly in it, as well as other really good words? So most of you guys know that 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, my father-in-law, Tom, he was actually at my clinic in Green answering phones at noon to one. He went home and he suddenly had a stroke, and you guys have been praying for him, and so I wanted to give you an update on that. But he's doing phenomenal for having had a stroke 2 weeks ago. He's doing absolutely amazing. He went to speech therapy, which also checks your cognition, and they're like having him like balancing checkbooks and this and that, and like, okay, he's good. He can. Most people can't do that when they haven't had a stroke, so. They're like, you're good, you're good, you're clear. But Grandma Jane heard him at the sink just breathing weird, and she's like, Tom, are you okay? And went over and put her arm with Tom, you okay? And like took the bowl from him, oh, okay. She's like, are you feeling okay? Oh, fine. I think we need to go to the hospital. Oh, we need to go to the hospital. His whole left side is just sagged because he, you know, was paralysis of his face. She helped him get down to the floor, called my sister-in-law who was next door, came over. Went to Altman Hospital. They realized it was a clot, and he's on Coumadin, so they couldn't do the clot buster. So they life flighted him to Akron General. Praise God for Akron General Cleveland Clinic. They have got a sweet team up there. But so they took him right into surgery. They go up through his vein, up his groin, somewhere up in his head, behind his eyeball somewhere, and they find this clot and they yank it out, which is just amazing to me. And an hour later after the surgery, we go in there and, you know, the nurse is testing him. He's lifting his left leg. He's lifting his left arm. And it's not full mobility. He's still got some facial paralysis. But Rachel comes in and says, hey, Dad, you know, it's Rachel and Troy. And I say, what a day. And he says, this was the day the Lord has made. And I was like, he's just out of surgery. He's been sedated. He's just had a stroke. He's not 100% here. And the first words out of his mouth are, this is the day the Lord has made. And obviously the rest of that is, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I was like, that's so cool. Where is that again? I'm always telling that verse to my kids. I always say it to them, like, do you guys know what today is? And they're like, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm like, yeah, it's Tuesday, but you know what today is? And they're like, oh. Now they're like, oh. Like, this is the day the Lord has made. So what do we get to do? And like, rejoice and be glad in it. They're receiving it. They just haven't got the full revelation of it. You got to keep saying it throughout childhood, reminding them, wait, today is the day the Lord has made. So therefore, tomorrow, he hasn't made that day. I mean, he sort of has, but he hasn't made that day. But today is the day that he's made. But Dad, tomorrow is going to be the same thing. That's right. Isn't it awesome? That's right. It's still the day he's made. But today is the day. Not just yesterday. Today he made. And so I'm always telling them that, and they, you know, take that as kids do. Dad, you're so stupid. They don't say that, actually, because you're not allowed to use that word in my house, generally, unless they're asleep. Sometimes it's used if they're asleep. But Psalms 118, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So I look it up at Psalm 118. I start reading it. I am amazed at all the things that are in Psalms 118. And I just... the Lord just gave that chapter, gave that word to prophetically speak over himself. This is the day the Lord has made. But we're going to read through here. There's so much more that God is speaking over Tom, but not just over Tom. I believe it's over us. It's over, this is a prophetic word for us to step into. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his endures forever. Let's try this again. Let Israel now say his. Let the house of Aaron now say. Let those who fear the Lord now say. Amen. Because this is the psalm that in, I will actually use the NASB in this version. It actually, the title for this, not for the words, just for the title. You don't have to switch. It's Thanksgiving for the Lord's Saving Goodness. This is the psalm of thanksgiving for the Lord's saving goodness for my father-in-law, for the family, as a prophetic sign to the family of just as the patriarch of the family, and just a declaration that this is the day the Lord has made. This is what he says. His mercy endures forever for the Larson family and the Levy family too, which is technically my last name, but that's a different story. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place, not a narrow ledge where you're about to fall off. He set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord, say that with me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? All through the Bible. All through the Bible, it's the recognition of who God is. When we realize who he is, the amazing father we have, the good father we have, what can man do to me? Even in the midst of, you know, and I started briefly watching a Voice of the Martyrs video, and I didn't finish it because I wasn't going there exactly today, and I didn't want to get off the adventure in the Voice of the Martyrs totally, but you know, what can man do to me? You know, the people that we've been with, I remember being with Cynthia in 2004 in China and, you know, transporting, a.k.a. smuggling, but they wouldn't throw us in jail. They'd just take it and say, come back another day. But you know, transporting Bibles across the border from Guangzhou into Guangzhou, from Hong Kong into Guangzhou, and then taking a train ride up to Shanghai where we are given, you know, we go to the hotel and we're given a business card to give to a taxi driver to take us to a flower shop. And when you get to the flower shop, when the taxi driver lets you off, hoping that they actually took you to the right flower shop, there's going to be someone there that's going to wave you in to come into a dark building that you can go over to that person that you don't know with your Bibles and training materials that you've just brought against the government's, you know, express wishes. Technically not illegal, because they don't say that, but they take it from you. Taking that, meeting this person, going up these stairs, going to this room, and meeting this 80-something-year-old lady who has been doing this for decades. And all that material just starts disappearing in this apartment of hers in Shanghai. I mean, was that like... that's the event, and this lady's doing that where she could have been thrown in prison at any point. She could have been persecuted. She could have been killed. But she's been doing it for decades, and she had been married to someone in the political party, and he had passed away years before. But I mean, here we are. We get to, I mean, Cynthia, I don't know if there's more you'd say about that experience. What for you? What, just thinking on that? She is not prepped at all, but just thinking on that.
I mean, it was very humbling, just, you know, where that the Lord would have us connect in with such a, with what he was doing in that hour, like, who are we to be connecting in with, you know, something like that, where she's been doing it forever. She lives there every day. She lives the persecution every day. She has to hide every day. She has to be careful of what she's saying and doing every day. And we have the freedom to shout it as loud as we want. But for the Lord to say, here, I'm going to take you guys and I'm going to connect you with this. And it was just very humbling and a very, one of those, every experience of, I'm in China in this lady's house, you know, it was very just amazing. And she also fed us eel, like really big. Here's an eel.
She also fed Cynthia and some of the others eel. I recall little biscuits or cake is what I recall. I don't think I had the eel. I sometimes somehow managed in that mix of things to, I even forgot that part because I'm pretty certain I didn't have it. Or I would have remembered how blessed I was to try eel in China. But it was such a humbling thing of like, Lord, how do I get to be here? And it's not just these overseas things in India and China. It's like, how do I get to be, like, gift of Christmas? How do I get to be here and bless these people who have so many needs and so many hurts, and yet every need, there's 700 names and titles. Something there applies to them. Over 700 names and titles of Jesus. There's everything's provided for them. He's providing. He has the freedom for that if they are able to step into that. But what can man do to me? Verse 7 says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Again, it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. We don't want to get too mental. It's not wrong to have pros and cons of things. It's not wrong to think through things. It's not wrong to, but at the end of the day, you need to have the peace of the Lord, the leading of the Lord on whatever we decide, whichever direction we go. That's what we have to have that. It doesn't matter what makes sense to our minds. And that's sometimes, it's not that the Lord says don't make sense, but his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Quit your job, go to Africa, make twice as much money the next year. That didn't make sense, but it's what he did. He said, quit, I quit. And he took care of it. Not always easy, but he took care of it. So how did I get in the wrong psalm? Oh, I am in the right psalm. It's better to trust in the Lord than put our confidence in princes. So it's not in who you know, the princes. It's not an, oh, I know this person at work, or I know this person in law, or I know this person, you know, from BNI. You know, those things are helpful, but it's not who you know. It's not the princes. It's not the powerful people of here. It's who we know in the spirit. It's whose child are we? We are royalty. And then it goes on to say, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Has anyone felt pushed violently? Like maybe in the last few weeks? I've been feeling a little pushed lately, and I'm pushing back because this, he is my deliverer. The Lord is my strength and my salvation and my song, and he has become my salvation. I was singing a lot in the clinic on Friday. I was just like, you know what? I'm singing. Like I was thinking about it as I'm doing, like, oh no, I'm releasing. It's okay. Like, I know of all the problems. I know that the person quit last night on a text message who I know that. And the staff didn't know that, and I found that out by telling them, by the way, so-and-so's gone. And I was like, oops, they don't know that. Well, she's gone. Sorry. usually try to be a little more graceful about it. But, you know, we're pushed, but the Lord helps us. The Lord is our strength and our song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. That's how I got to that chapter again. Thanks, Lawrence. He told me, oh, you got your message when I said about Psalms 118 with my father-in-law. You know, for my message, I'm like, we'll see, I don't know. And then valiantly got me back here. So the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And then I totally forgot this was in this psalm. The next verse. Next verse. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The same chapter as this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. As he gave me that, I looked it up. I just prayed out the whole psalm over him as we stayed in the room with him and they checked him out, just read through it, prayed it out, just declared that over him. He doesn't even remember saying this is the day the Lord has made. Actually, I asked him later, I said, do you remember saying this? He's like, no. That was what's in him coming out, because my father loves the Lord, he loves the gospel, he loves to help people, he's doing all sorts of things like giving rides to people, Refuge of Hope, and he's, you know, helping after school programs, he and Grandma Jane and stuff. I mean, they're doing all this stuff. He's out there, he loves the Lord, and that's the thing that comes out when he's sedated, he's had a stroke, and this is the day the Lord has made, so it comes out. That's what should come out of us. As we fill ourselves with the Word, we fill ourselves with the Lord. We want that to come out of us when we're bumped, when we're pushed. When I'm pushed, is it Jesus that comes out first? There are days it's not. I'll be honest. You don't have to raise your hands. I'm raising mine. There are days it's not Jesus that comes out first. But I feel like quicker and quicker, the longer I've been with the Lord, when I'm bumped, I'm thinking, wait a second, in Africa, when it rains, it's a good thing. It's a blessing. I'm taking this as blessing over my clinic. It's not the money pit. As the water well pump dies, you showed me that was blessing. So the fact that that led to the pump dying, or at least being connected in my mind, it may not be, Spencer probably knows better. It may or may not be totally connected, but in my mind, that was connected to the water sprinkler blowing and then the pump dying. And to me, it's just spiritually connected. No, you said this is blessing, so this is going to be a blessing too. And it is a blessing. I'm still not paying for city water. So that's a blessing. I'm going to start paying for septic, but sewer. But the blessing was I haven't done it for the last year and a half. So I've saved. So I shall live. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open up the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I didn't even really meditate on that much. Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. Lord, I want you to open up gates of righteousness for me. Right thinking, right standing, right actions, right hearing. I want you to open up those gates. I will go through those gates. I will not go through the gates of unrighteousness. I will praise the Lord. This is the Lord's gate through which the righteous enter. I am righteous. Declare that over ourselves. Like, let this, even after this morning, this week, whatever, to go through this psalm, declare it over you, your family, your extended family, your friends, me. Declare it over me, my blessing. Declare it over me. But open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through. It's about choice. There's so many things that are about choice. You know, the love adventure is about choice. Love that works is about choice. It's choosing to die to ourselves. We don't want it to come back to that, but it all comes back to if it's about him, then it's not about us. And then that's when these gates of righteousness open. That's when these doors of provision open. That's where he just takes care of these things. Not all easy, but good, and he's faithful through that. Verse 21, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. And then it even throws in a messianic prophetic word. Like, I was just blown away again here. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is in Psalm 118. In case anyone didn't know that, he's there. Verse 23, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. This is from the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes. Whatever's from the Lord, let it be marvelous in my eyes. Let me recognize it. Even when it's the difficult things that are from the Lord, even when it's the challenging things that are from the Lord, even when it's, oh my goodness, sorry kids, you're going to aftercare. I'm going to the middle school today and you're going to be there for an extra hour or so. Sorry. I know you don't want to stay longer after you've been there all day, but sorry. That's how it is today. And they were fine, but you know, it's not everything goes the way we want it to. Not everything's easy. It's not about being easy. It's about being kingdom. It's about, and that's where joy is not, it's not based, happiness and joy are different. Like, I'm not always happy about some of the things that happen. I'm not happy about the employees that quit. They're both randomly weird situations, but I'm not happy about that, but it doesn't take my joy. Like, I'm in joy. I'm in peace. And he'll provide someone else that's the right fit and bless them. And then we're almost done here. And then I'm almost done, so there's hope. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I already talked about that every day. If we just, when we hit situations or we wake up in the morning, if we just remember this, it's his day. It just changes our perspective. Changes our perspective, whether it's a crazy busy day or it's a relaxed day where you're just chilling out with hot chocolate for me or coffee for most of you, you know, and you're just, you know, looking at the beautiful winter weather that's coming probably very soon. You know, the snow on the trees and all that. We had the fall. It was beautiful. But, you know, whatever it is, Lord, this is the day you've made it. I'm going to rejoice in it. It's that choice. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. I receive that too, Lord. Send prosperity in my family, in my life, in my finances, in my time, in fruitfulness, in my relationships. And that's, you know, both ministry and just friendships and family and stuff. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Bind ourselves to the with cords to the horns of the altar. My life's a sacrifice to the Lord. That's part of what Lawrence is saying. Our life is given to him. It's a sacrifice. We put ourselves there. You know, in Romans 12, throwing ourselves on the mercy seat. We throw ourselves on the Lord. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. There's just three more verses back in Romans that I just want to read as we're heading towards closing. Romans chapter 8. Just finishing up that chapter, verse 37. We've just come through what's going to separate us from the love of Christ. Can persecution or trial or famine or nakedness or sword or peril? No, verse 37. Yet in all these things, all these things that we're talking about, this whole list that we just talked about was the bad list. It was not the happy list. It was not the, like, let's celebrate and just, you know, be happy list. It's the all these things. We are more than conquerors. How? Only through him who loved us. It's only through him. In all these situations, it's only through him. We can only do it through him. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough mercy. We don't have enough grace for others, much less ourselves. Most of the time, you know, but through him, we are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror is someone who conquers and wins. How do you more than conquering? Like, I know it's like having your cake and eat, you know, with the whipped cream and the cherry and eating it too, but we're not just a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror because of him who loved us. It comes back to that love. It comes back to this love adventure we have with the Lord. And to me, I try to read the Bible and look at things as an adventure. You know, Rachel and I talk about that so much in our marriage and our life of just, this is an adventure we're on with you, Lord. Honey, you know, you ready for the adventure? Yes, dear. You ready for the adventure? I'm ready for the adventure. She's like, I'm going out and I'll be out all night and you can take care of the kids. Great. I'm ready for the adventure. You know, I know that there's a lot going on at the clinic. I'll see you later, dear. Freedom cries here, so I'll see you in a couple weeks. You know, it's you know, that's Michelle and Rachel and Cynthia and others that were part of that, Jamie and stuff. You guys are all a part of that. But, you know, it's like, all right, I'll see you in a week or two. Kids, I'm loving that Netflix for a couple, a week or so here. A little bit of Amazon Prime in there, you know. When, you know, getting things done. There's things in the kingdom take time, and there's times to impart to your kids and times to just let them be entertained and learn. I mean, my kids know more about wild animals than I do. I mean, the wild crats, I'm a veterinarian. I've worked on lions and tigers and bears and kangaroos and camels and alpacas and sheep and goats and cows and dogs and cats and ferrets and snakes and whatever. My kids know more about exotic animals than I do by far, and dinosaurs. I can, like, they are always telling me, you know, the flying one is actually not a dinosaur. And I'm like, yeah, what is it, the pterosaur? Maybe try it. Pterodactyl, that's what it is. See, I don't even know what they are. Yeah, Gabriel knows. But so wrapping up, stop distracting me. More than a conqueror. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able, it is not able, to separate me, to separate you, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing can separate us. Nothing. And I just feel the Lord today is just calling us to fresh and new, just come back to that joy, that revelation of just his love, his goodness, the love that works, the love adventure, that he's got an adventure for you, that these things we're going through, these processes, these journeys, these expressions, enjoy the process we've had for decades around Frontline, you know, enjoy the way it goes, enjoy life, enjoy him, you know, jump in, you know, wholeheartedly. We're all in all that, those aspects of that, that it's this joy, this adventure that we get to participate with him. Like, he brings us so many blessings. He brought Rachel to me. You know, he brought that in his time and in his way. He brought that amazing, amazing, wonderful woman who I miss and love. And the kids miss more. And no, we miss. We miss her the same. But, you know, he just brings all that stuff. So I want to read something from my journal. And I just want to take a, you know, as if we have some music that either of you or someone else knows how to put on, you know, have some music here. And I really, today, what in my heart, I just feel like the Lord's just wants to remind us. I feel like he's going to flood. As I've been going back through some of my journals, I feel like he's been flooding my memories with these things that he has done. Not all easy, but just these things that he's done, he's brought me through. And some of it's been the Isaiah 43 or 45, where it's, you know, though you walk through the river, you will not drown. Though you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. You know, some of them are those kind of journal entries and emails and thoughts and stuff. It's just, you know, but Lord, you've brought me through the fire. You brought me through the water. You're doing this. And so I'm just going to read just a quick prayer to the Lord that I wrote in this journal. In 2017, and no, I'll just read this. So just close your eyes for a second. This is my prayer to the Lord. Just listen. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Flying to Mozambique at 35,000 feet is my current adventure. We just bought our Laura Avenue house, and 6 days later, I'm off to Mozambique. God, you are so faithful to me and my family. Thank you for your love, your friendship, and your unending mercy. I choose today to give myself to you fresh and new. Lead me onward and upward. Thank you for my life. Love, your son. Father, as we just meditate on you and think on what you've done in our lives and just how you've come in and you've rescued us, you've saved us, You've taken us from the miry clay and you set us on our feet. Just like Peter wasn't dragged back to the boat under the water by Jesus. But Jesus, you picked him up. You walked with him. He walked to the boat with you. You do that with us. You don't drag us through. You're not frustrated with us. You're not upset with us. You love us. And you're such a good father. And so, Father, I just thank you that as we look at this love adventure that you've got us on, Lord, each one of us, we've given our hearts to you. Well, Lord, even as I've prepared myself and read through, Lord, you've been saying, Troy, fresh and new, fresh and new, fresh and new. Choose today, fresh and new, to give yourself fully. So, Lord, today we're choosing. I am encouraging all of us to fresh and new. Just come back to the Lord. Fresh and new, fall deeper in love with him. Fresh and new, remember his promises. Fresh and new, remember that even through the trials and the persecutions and the difficulties and the struggles, Lord, that fresh and new, you were with us. You never left us. You never forsook us. You're always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you for that, Lord. I just encourage you guys to just meditate on that with the Lord. And some good lifelong friends gave this sign to us, and it sits over the door going out to our garage. So every day I walk under this sign, and it just says, adventure awaits. And I just declare that as you take this before the Lord, over each one of you and those listening, that adventure awaits you. The Lord's adventure, the love adventure, it awaits you. He is awaiting you. The Lord is near. He is not far. So whatever situations, whatever difficulties, whatever trials, whatever struggles, where our emotions are up, all knotted up, where we're nervous, where we're fearful, where we're just feeling pressure or feeling disconnected, Father, I just thank you that today we come to you fresh and new. Today we realize that your adventure awaits us. Today we reflect on the things that you have done, the ways that you have touched us. Lord, you've rescued us. Lord, that you are not making it hard for us. You are not making it difficult. Thank you, Jesus. So I just take your time, talk to the Lord if you want. If you want to come up here and just have this picture of just walking by, just saying, I choose to step into the adventure of just coming up here and just declaring before the Lord, not to me, but to the Lord, Lord, I choose to step into the adventure that you have awaiting me. I choose that. So thank you, Lord. Choose the love adventure that you've given us. We choose you. We choose your righteousness. Thank you for leading us. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy, which allows us to be humble. Father, when we're in our own thinking, in our own ways, our own plans, Lord, we choose your plans. We choose your ways. We choose your thoughts. Forgive us, Lord, when we have any of our thoughts. Cleanse us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just encourage us, you know, through this week to just meditate on Psalms 118, Romans 8, and just, you know, ask the Lord to show you if your declarations and where you're living from has not been, Lord, I'm choosing the gates of righteousness. I'm choosing the doors of righteousness. I'm choosing that this is the day you've made, Lord. Now, if we're responding in the flesh, that you would show us, Lord. Show us if we're responding in our own flesh, our own weak flesh. Show us where our thinking is our own weak thinking. Lord, renew our minds this week. Renew our minds by your word, by your spirit. Remind us of the things that you've done. Remind us of the testimonies here, overseas, and everywhere in between, Father God. Remind us growing up.
Thank you for listening.
Through your Spirit.
If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.